Scripture reading tonight is taken out of the third chapter of Philippians. We'll start in the 12th verse and read through the end of the chapter. Philippians 3:12. Scripture is on the screen, so if you'd stand, please, for the reading of the word. Not that I have already obtained all this, or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ took hold for me, hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind, straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us then who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. Join together in following my example, brothers and sisters. And just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. For this I have often told you before, and now tell you again, even with tears. Many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things, but our citizenship is in heaven. And we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. Amen.
You know, this particular passage is kind of near and dear to my heart because it's the first scripture I remember memorizing as a kid. I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, Philippians 3:14. It's still in there, you know. I didn't know what it meant when I was a kid. One of the things my grandma would do is, this is back in the old school, so, you know, for those of you who are really young, this sounds really painful, but this is how it used to be. There was a newsletter that was sent out from our church, and in the newsletter, there would be this clue on a scripture you were supposed to look up, and then you had to call grandma and see if you got the right one. Okay. So that's how it was done. So the mail would come out, and then the newsletter came. We would throw it on the table, and my sister was, like, so much smarter than me, and she was extremely competitive. And so we would see this, and I'd have my Bible ready. You know those green padded living Bibles? You know what I'm talking about? The ones you could hit people with, and they wouldn't hurt. They had the padding on the outside. So we would sit there and, like, go through these things as fast as we could go to get to the answer and then call grandma real quick. And it was everybody in town had this stuff, right? So it could have been anyone. But we would be always the ones to win, I guess, because we took it really seriously. And so when I did this, I was more about beating my sister Stacy out for the whatever she was giving out for an award than I was really about the scripture. But the scripture got deep into my heart, and it takes hold, right? We know that the scripture doesn't just go void. It actually works in us. And so I still remember it to this day. But as I look at this passage, I see this picture of an eternally minded disciple, you know? This whole idea that Paul was like, I'm all about my Father's business. I'm not stuck in this world. I'm not stuck in the minutiae of this place. I'm actually reaching out and I'm taking hold of the very things that God has for me. He says, not that I've already obtained this or I've already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that which Christ Jesus took hold of for me. What did Christ Jesus take hold of? He took hold of healing for us, right? So for anyone who needs healing, he took hold of the healing for you. Take out there, reach out there, get a hold of it because it's for you, right? For the provision that you need in your life, he already did that for you. So you need to reach out and take hold of it. And imagine what it would be if we had a life of taking hold of everything that Jesus already took care of for us, right? I mean, that's a picture of being eternally minded because, Lord, everything that you've done for me, everything that you've already set in place for me, I want that. I don't want the things this world has to offer. But it's easy to get hung up in the things of the world. As a matter of fact, that's what gets us sucked in, and we get kind of down with that. And the bottom line is that everything that you need in your life, and I'm not saying everything you want, everything you need in your life, Jesus Christ has already made a way for it, and it's already happened. You need to take hold of it, and that needs to be the goal of your life. That needs to be the very thing that you're out to do every day that you wake up is, I press towards the mark to take hold of the prize that God has created for me, right? That's a paraphrase, but I take hold of it, right? Because he's already taken care of it for me. And he says this, brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. That is really important. Like, let go of the past. Be done with it, okay? Because the past has held you back for a long time. You're not stuck there anymore. If you continue to operate there, you're never going to take hold of what Jesus has for you because you think that the pain you're experiencing, you deserved. And at some point, you got to stop that, right? But he says, I let go of that. I forget what's behind, and I strain toward what is ahead. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. So the whole point is that I'm living future-oriented. I'm living in what Jesus has already done. I'm living forward. And so when we live forward, we find ourselves really understanding what it means to be eternally minded, because it's all about what Jesus has already done. It's not about what I want. It's not about where I've been. It's not about what I've done. This is about what Jesus took hold of, and it's about what he wants for my life. And so over the course of the next several weeks, we're going to be talking about what it means to be eternally minded in different aspects of life. And we're going to talk about different categories of our life and the things that we struggle with and what the eternal perspective is of those things. So we're going to be going with that, but we're kind of starting with this today. And so he goes on to say this, that for all who are mature, you should take this view of things. And if on some point you think differently, well, that too God will make clear to you, okay? He'll speak to you at one point. So just do what you can right now, okay? What you have faith for and what you understand right now, operate in that, but God is going to continue to open the rest of it up to you, and he's going to show you that we only live forward. We don't live backwards. We only live in what Jesus has already done. We don't live in what we think we can do ourselves, right? And so he makes that really clear. He says, join with others in following my example, brothers, and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you. For as I have often told you before and now, and now I say again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is on earthly things. And I think everybody here, we've had these moments, right? Our mind has been on the earthly things. It's been in the things that we wanted. It's been in the things that we thought we needed, right? All the stuff of life. And when I think about all these things that derail us, and when I say derail, I mean, you know, all the possessions you have in your life, they can be a derailment if you're not careful. All the stuff you wanted, all the things that you're taking care of, the things that you've become a slave to in your life that were supposed to be a blessing, if you're not careful, they'll be the very things that derail you in life, because they'll take you away from the things that are really eternal, and you'll be focusing on the things that are earthly, and they're things that God never really had for you. You know, when we think about all the physical things that we have in life, I mean, let's take a look at our homes for just a moment. You know, a lot of us have more home than we need, right? Can we just be honest? What do you really need? I mean, for those of you who live alone or you live with someone, you might need one bedroom, right? But you have three or whatever, or four or five, I don't know. You really need one bathroom, but, you know, it takes the lady so long to get ready that you got to have another bathroom so that she can have her time and you can have your time. And it's really important to have that. I would accept no house that didn't have two bathrooms, right? I need a big kitchen. I need lots of counter space because I like to lay out a bunch of stuff and have a big old spread of things. And this is what I have to have. And I need a dishwasher because if you think I'm washing those dishes, that ain't happening, okay? I mean, I'm going to need some stuff here. And if you were to pare down the picture of what you really need and you really come up with a picture, you would say, okay, look, I'll be honest. I mean, I need like two bedrooms, okay? That's all I really need. I need one bathroom. I don't need any more than that. I need a toilet. And I need a shower. I don't even have to have a tub shower combo. I mean, I could just do with a shower. And I don't have to have lots of floor space, but I do certainly need a sink because I got to wash my hands, okay? So I really should have that. And then, yeah, I need a kitchen. I probably need a fridge because I got to keep stuff cold and I don't want to get sick. And I probably need a microwave. I don't have to have a stove. I mean, I could probably cook in the microwave. I mean, if you come up with a picture, you'd probably come up with a picture of a very, very small house that's maybe 700 or 800 square feet, right? And I know you're all like, I can't do it. Don't make me do that. Don't make me think about that. Okay, but if you think about it, you could do that if you wanted to. You could really get it to the point where maybe you're like the millennials and you like the tiny house thing. You know, maybe we could put you in something that's very similar to a camper with a family of four. And it's not a camping trip, it's life. You know what I mean? And you're actually living in that. And you think about that and you think, I wonder if that would work for me. And you're probably thinking, you know what? Yeah, I could give up all that stuff and I could live in a space like that. You know, last year I took the staff to Los Angeles. And as we were downtown Los Angeles in the financial district, and we were walking down, or we were driving down the street, all you see on the side of the streets are tarps and people living there. And the homeless population in Los Angeles now is between 40 and 50,000 people. It's something like I've never seen in my entire life. And the streets are lined. The sidewalks are about 20 feet wide there. And in that entire sidewalk, it is tents and tarps from the building all the way to the curb. and the city employees are out there hosing down urine and everything else.